the Muskie 360 Podcast. Jay Bird.
Hey, Steve.
It's getting hot. It's getting hot in here in the North Woods.
Oh, it's a barn burner. It's beautiful up here right now. Unbelievable. Yeah. 70 degrees. It's been a long time coming, baby.
You're just freaking out there wearing shorts.
Yeah.
Have they found Wally's body yet?
Nope.
Good.
And all the snow piles have melted, so there's no sign of his snow plowing.
Jay will be here next week, folks. Oh, my goodness, Jay. Do you know what time? We've teased it. We've talked about it. We've caressed it. We can give you the details. We got all the details on the Muskie Shop Bash 2022, baby.
It's definitely official.
We got the freaking... Okay, we're going to do something different this year. We're going to have the Muskie Power Panel, right? So, for all the questions everyone loves to ask, we're going to have a big sit-down Q&A. Nobody's doing a seminar. It's going to be the best minds in muskie fishing, sitting at a table, doing a Q&A, talking to everybody, talking to the crowd. It's going to be Booker. Whoa. Mana. Whoa. Herbeck. Whoa. Smitty. And some dude named Steve up there. So if you got big time muskie questions, this is going to be the event. And we're going to make it a little bit more personal this year. You're going to get to talk to everybody hands on. Jay, it's the July 16th,
Saturday.
Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Minocqua, Wisconsin.
Minocqua.
Muskie Shop.
Man, I like fishing. Minocqua. Anyway, so, you know, you got that going on. And then the next day, on the 17th, now the bash is going to start. You can roll up there about 11, right?
11. It'll open at 11, correct.
The Smitties will be doing a country kitchen where they'll be under-seasoning food. They're going to have some pink chicken available.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The famous Smitty pink chicken, under seasoned and delicious. Now there's going to be food. I think isn't Grill Master Fred Palermo in the game this year?
And Jake is overseeing it. He's like the CEO of this whole operation.
Gotcha.
You know when you get a chicken, you know, like a Thanksgiving turkey, and you have one of those electric knives. Mm-hmm. You know, they use something different there in Minocqua. Gotcha. He uses a shank. It cuts a custom-made shanking knife.
Smitty cut carving the chicken up. Shank. So
it is, and it's custom-made. I've seen some of his work. It's outstanding. So that's something to look forward to this year at the Bash.
The Smitties will have an entire cutlery booth set up. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, I've got that going on. I think Grill Master Fred Palermo will be cooking up some food.
Yes. He's an accomplished chef. He really is. Yeah.
Just snack there. Fred's a hell of a cook. He's gonna cook you up something good, folks. I don't want to kick my feet up, Jay. I'm almost dreaming that it's summer already.
Kicking it.
Oh my goodness. I don't know what to do with myself, Jay. It rained all day, so I haven't been on the boat. So I
you got stormed out today, but man, did you have a week.
Boy,
oh,
did I punch?
They switched on, man.
I know, but I punched my party pass a little early here, folks. I'm going to lean back here and hold on for dear life. Yeah, things were good. Before we get there, one thing I'll mention. So there's a couple dudes I know, the old Pete May and the Herbeck. What we're going to do is on the 17th, we're going to do a free muskie school from Livingston, right?
Yes.
So the bash is like 11 to 3, 34-ish, somewhere in that neighborhood, right? We're going to hang out, have a good time at the bash, right?
And we're going to do a live podcast again,
Live podcast, you got it. It's going to be a hoot nanny.
Yep.
Hoot nanny.
And a million vendors, too.
A million.
There'll be a lot of stuff to look at, yeah, outside.
Start Beautiful. Saving your shekels now because there's going to be some cool stuff. But the next morning... Free of charge. The bash is free. The next day, July 17th, Minocqua, Wisconsin, the Livingston Lures Muskie School. So it's going to be a very much a set down We're going to go through structure fishing. We're going to go through proper presentations. We're going to go through figure eighting. We're going to do hands-on with myself, Pete Maina, and Steve Herbeck there at the Muskie Shop. So it's if you want to do the Muskie School, it's going to run from 10 to 1. And it's going to be like hands-on, talking about stuff. You know, bring your maps of your home water. Yeah. You got a lake you fish, bring it. Right.
Yeah.
You got serious questions about X, Y, and Z, bring it along, because we'll sit down there, we'll break down the maps. And I'm not saying just me. You might be able to pin down Steve Herbeck and he's going, this looks good to me. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about that. And just some really fun bouncing off each other and sharing ideas for me, Pete, and Herbie. And you'll be able to pick our brains to the extent of it's one-on-one. It's very direct.
It sounds expensive.
It is. $0. Free.
It is free.
Right?
It's so cool.
At the end, Herbeck's going to try to sell you a timeshare. Don't sign up for it. It's a scam.
Okay.
Son of a bitch. He's been selling timeshares. But you get the free Muskie School. You got to sit through Steve Herbeck's timeshare presentation at the end. Oh, well, you know. I'm teasing. He doesn't sell timeshares.
No, he's not going to do that.
He's not going to do that. But no strings attached. We're going to have a good time. Livingston's going to pay for some food and some drink for everybody that morning. Because after you leave the Muskie Shop after party, you're going to need some fresh drinks in the morning. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
DJ Tommy Fresh.
DJ Tommy Fresh! Yeet! Yeet!
Hello, you know? Manaqua.
Hello, Manaqua.
Put your hands in the air and wave them like you just don't care.
Like you just don't care. So, going to be some fun stuff going on. There might be some PCP there, Jay. Power catching people.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Power catching people at the Muskie School.
Oof.
Come get your PCP, people. It's on. Me, Maina, Herbeck, anybody that slept in the parking lot the night before. That'll be going on. John McNeek will be there at 7:30 in the morning. Let us know if you're going to come to the Muskie School. Give us a heads up, because Livingston, in all honesty, Livingston's going to spring for some snacks and some stuff. So if you're going to go to the Muskie School for free on the 17th, there at the Muskie Shop, same place we're doing the bash the next morning, shoot us an email and say, gonna be at the school. And we'll know what we need to have there on hand. Mm-hmm, Now, the thing is this, Jay. Are you ready for this?
Yeah, I think so.
Put on your diaper.
Uh-oh.
Put your diaper on, Jay.
Yeah.
If you have a bait you don't like, right? Let's say you bought a bait and you go, this bait sucks.
What kind of bait?
Any bait. Right?
Okay.
Or this one doesn't run.
Mm-hmm.
Or this bait is broken, or this bait, I don't like it. It doesn't catch fish. We're going to do the craziest thing ever, right? Because the Livingston people are me, Pete, and Herbie. Eric, that runs Livingston, said, what do we do? I said, I hate nothing more than crap baits. We're going to do the first and never done before Livingston Lures trade-in. Drag them in, pull them in, push them in. You got a bait you don't like, we will trade you for a brand new Livingston. What? Huh? Are you kidding me?
Wow.
So let's say you got a bait from company X, Y, and Z, and it runs like crap. Bring it in. We'll trade you for a new Livingston. So we're going to make sure you leave with a cool bait. So if you get a bait that sucks and you don't like it, or your crankbait runs like crap, or it leaks, or it runs to the right, or it runs to the left, or it's grandpa's bait, you still have his tackle box, bring it in. We're going to trade it in. It is the used bait extravaganza, one weekend only. So we're going to do a crazy trade-in thing, man. Bring in an old bait. We're going to trade it for something awesome new. There you go. How much fun is that?
I don't think anything's ever been attempted like that.
No.
That's very, very, very risky.
It's not risky. It's fun.
What if a million people show up?
Million baits. I don't know. I don't own the place. I don't give a shit. That's Livingston's problem, baby.
better bring a truck full.
Well, it's one per.
Gotcha.
Like, I can't trade in like the whole bait cave for pounders or something.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know? So, you know, bring in your old baits, get a new one. It's the drag drive, drag them in, haul them in, push them in event. I like it because you need confidence bait. So if you got a bait you're not confident in, we're going to set you up in a brand new 2022 Livingston lure. Look at the interior on this pounder, Jay. It's roomy.
Very cool.
I thought it was pretty cool.
Yeah, the whole Sunday event with that Muskie School is just very intriguing to me. I would hope that just about anybody that's, you know, going to be in the area is going to get something out of that and would really seriously consider attending this.
Well, we're going to give Steve Herbeck enough sedatives that he doesn't make a fool of himself. So,
okay.
You know, that goes without saying. If you got questions, it'll be fun. Like, if you guys went to the bash last year, you know, it's super chill. We're going to give away, now that the Muskie Shop Bass, we're going to give away so much free stuff. It's ridiculous. It's going to be the coolest stuff you've ever seen. Then we're going to do the lure trade-in at the freaking Muskie School. So, like I said, you got a bait from whatever, I don't care what it is, and you don't like it, bring it in, we'll trade you for something new. I think that, like Eric from Livingston, straight up, he said, what could we do to help people get some baits in their hands? I said, not everybody wants to spend $1 million. Let's do a trade-in. Right? If you're willing,
he fell for it.
He fell for it, folks. I'm going to sell all your old baits on eBay back to you. I'm teasing. No, it's a joke. But we'll do it. Do a trade in. Bring your old headlocks. Event is what that is, Jay. I'm teasing.
If you got old headlocks, I'll take them. I remember that story. You got one.
Oh, my God. We'll talk about it. Let's talk about that. Remind me of that in a second. Now, in all honesty, what we're going to do, we're going to donate. If you bring in old baits that don't work or you don't like them, preferably don't bring me something that's like split in half and it's got a hatchet in it, but a bait you don't like, we're going to donate them to a charity for children's fishing and give you a brand new Livingston. So.
Cool.
That children's fishing charity is called me. Okay. I'm teasing. All right. It's called Jay's Home. It's a home for Jays. No, we're going to give those to charity. So bring in something that's serviceable that you don't like, and we'll give it to some kids that can't afford anything, and they're going to fish what they don't like and deal with it. Because that's what happens when you're an orphan that likes fishing. I don't know. The world's cruel, Jay. It's a cruel place.
Nope.
Listen, freaking just bring them in. No, seriously, I'm joking. We'll trade you out for something cool. It's going to be fun time. We're going to have, like I said, the map work. Anything we can do to help you guys, it's really a one-on-one. Pick Pete's brain, Herbie's brain, my brain. Jay's going to probably be there if I can wake him up that early. Jay usually don't get up till 4 or 5 in the afternoon, so we'll try our best to get Jay out of bed.
No, that's you. That's you, not me.
Yeah, that's wrong.
Yeah,
you're wrong. Didn't happen. Never did.
You're not. If you're on time for this school, I'll be shocked.
I'm gonna
10 a.m. stretching the limits.
It's 10 a.m. is early for me. I'm gonna sleep in the white shed with John Mikniak.
There you go. Bingo.
So, folks,
good idea.
And the other thing is this. I'll say this. If you bring in asbestos, John Mikniak will abate your house for free.
Yes, I don't.
It's a weird promotion. Yeah, don't bring in asbestos. That's cancer. But you know, if you need asbestos abatement, John Mikniak.
If you do have a question on asbestos abatement, Mikniak can help you.
John will be there in the parking lot telling this wonderful rat story he's got. What do you think, Jay?
Yeah, if you want to hear a good one, if you see Mikniak and you see his name tag and it says, just hit him with it right across the face. John, heard you had a funny story about a rat.
Right now, the tube screamer is rolling over in his headphones. That's all I'm saying. So,
He got a kick out of that spaghetti eating, you know, the Elmer's space helmet little joke last week. So he liked that one.
Mm-hmm.
He goes, Steve told everybody on the air that I eat spaghetti 31 nights in a row.
Well, that's a world. Do you want to hold a world record? Do you want to be a
wiener,
Jay?
Truth hurts sometimes.
All you got to do is eat spaghetti 32 days in a row to win.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to the Muskie Shop Bash. Wow, we've ruined our own show here. July 16th is the Bash with the Power Panel. 17th is the Muskie School with the Livingston Lures Trade-In. That's it.
There you go.
I got nothing
else. That's it. Yeah.
Fishing with JSE. Retarded. So, Jay, we hurt somebody's feelings here recently.
We did?
Yeah.
Oh, I know where you're going. It was mean. It was cruel. It was all in good intention, you know, because we love Pete.
He called me crying.
Oh, did he?
He's a softie.
Yeah.
He's real. I mean, like, Pete Maine is probably the most emotional person I know.
Oh, really?
Yeah. You don't know. When he calls you, he's either sobbing or weeping. No in between. Oh. Every time.
Okay.
There's no like real demarcation line between the two.
Well, the ice came off his local lake the other day and he seemed pretty happy.
Well, he wept in joy.
Oh, I see.
Right. Okay. But he sobbed because it was still cold water.
Very, very true.
You know. So Pete, he's a delicate flower. We got to coddle him through life. He called me because all the podcasters were real mean to Pete.
Yeah.
So mean. So anyway, we reveled in it, and here's the clip.
What you say? That you only meant well, cause you did. What you say? That it's all for the best, cause it is. What you say?
So anyway, folks, there's no greater judge of the comment section of a Pete Mania video than Pete Mania. So here we go. First up, great video, Pete. SP, Steve Paul, told me he's been using this same technique on his balloon knot. Pete, have I been using that on my balloon knot, or do you know anything about that?
I've never actually heard of a balloon knot, but I've heard of tying knots in balloons so that the air stays in them. Pete. But I've never personally used a balloon knot myself.
No. Do you think Herbeck knows anything about balloon knots?
Oh, hell no. He doesn't know anything about balloon knots. No.
All right. Next up, Nathan. Pete, great video. I made a new drinking game last time since you're on the Muskie 360 podcast. The game is take a drink every time Pete says to a certain extent. nobody wanted to do it with me, so I did it on my own. Never blacked out so fast in my life. Thanks to you, now I have to quit my drinking habit. Pete, how do you feel personally, right?
Well, a little hurt, but the first thing I have to say,
do you feel hurt
to a certain extent?
You feel hurt, or what do you?
He's a damn lightweight. He can't drink. I don't say to a certain extent that much.
Not to a certain extent.
Good Lord, he can't handle his alcohol. That's his problem. He needs a little more practice. He's got to play the game a little more often.
To a certain extent, will you say he's being a bitch?
Yeah, just to a certain extent.
All right, Jeff. Yeah. Hey, Meat. I was wondering if you think this flare knot setup would work for building the perfect musky stinger. Seems like it would hold up pretty well to me. Sure, why not? All right. Why not? Great video, Pete. Say if a person uses Seaguar 130-pound with a Mustang clip, using this knot to create a snare, while placing a Titan with EBS active, would it catch an extraterrestrial? Pete, you've tried to trap aliens in the past. What's your thoughts on this?
I've had very little luck. I have tried in all hours of the day, and I generally try and concentrate on the moon because I hear from the police officers always and how crazy the moon actually affects the crazy people. So you have your general people that tend to be prone to criminal activity and doing stupid things over and over again. Apparently that activity increases tremendously under moon influence, and that's when you send the young cops out there, the old cops say, because they get to deal with all the crazy bastards when the moon's just right. And so I thought the alien trapping would coincide with that, and I have tried the snares, and I've had zero success, or you would have seen YouBoo videos about it by now.
You heard it here. First. Elevated Blocks is just sub, Pete. I believe these were the same knots used by Harry Houdini. Looking forward to learning how to tie my shoes as well. Do you have a tutorial on that?
Harry Houdini? No way, because those would have been knots that could become untied, and I do not tie knots that can become untied. It's not my way. Absolutely no.
Jake says, Pete, if I can't afford large fluorocarbon, can I use extra strength dental floss?
Oh, well, that's a definite. Yeah. You're going to want to play them a little lighter.
Right, right. Doesn't Herbeck fish mint?
Yeah. And it is kind of handy. I mean, for people on a budget, it is nice. I mean, that obviously, if you eat a lot of chicken in the boat while you're fishing, you got the dental floss right there to clean your teeth as well while you're fishing. It does come in handy, and I like frugal people. I like people that are thinking all the time, trying to save a buck and still get things done.
So. I remember that episode, and Gillespie turns to you and says, Pete, give me a liter. I got a Johnsonville in my teeth. All right, next up, Rick says, great video, Pete. Is it true that you spray Aquanet on your musky baits to get more strikes?
Aquanet, you know, the funny thing is, I'm not even completely sure what in the hell Aquanet
is. It's hairspray.
It is, huh?
Yeah.
I'd have to be more educated on hairspray.
Fair enough.
Believe me, I've tried a lot of things on my lures, but I've never tried Aquanet.
Jay Richard says, breathtaking, not acumen. This video reminded me of the lead singer of Mr. Twister restringing his guitar. Is there any relation between you and the lead singer of Mr. Twister?
Exactly zero, but I love the song. We're not going to take it.
Fair enough. Yeah. Alan, hey, Pete, great video. I was wondering if I could repurpose this not for my sex swing. Is this right? Will this work on big ropes?
I remember that one. There's certain things that you really don't want to get into, you know, publicly. I kind of figured that might be one of them.
Yeah.
I'm confident in the knot, so yeah, even if you're kind of a big one, I think it'd work.
Yeah, you know? I mean, if you're chasing big girls like me and Pete are year round, I mean, that's just chasing the big ones. Brandon says, nice video. The instructions weren't clear. I tied this around the wrong part of myself, and now my measurement in length by girth on the calculator is half of what it was before. Very snug knot. It wasn't going anywhere without a pair of scissors. Pete takes no liability. That's all I'm saying there.
Absolutely. No, there's no liability there at all. I showed you not. I got nothing to do with tying, knots around your body.
Not Pete's problem. No.
Exactly.
Keep it professional. Nathan says, these knots weren't great, Pete. Tied up the girlfriend with one to get her out of the water and tied up another one, started fishing. Two big girls in one day. Nice. Your standards are low, Nathan. Congratulations.
God, I love it. But we have an inventive audience, that's for sure.
Okay, Michael. Greetings from Kentucky. I use the fluorocarbon on my sucker rigs. My main question is, when using a sucker rig on an opossum, Where do you put the cork to help with flotation? Is it in the mouth or the butt? I'm afraid if I put it in its mouth, it won't be able to breathe underwater. Thanks. So if you're going to quick strike a possum, Pete, are you floating it on its butt or its mouth? What do you think?
No, that's real simple. You need a harness of some type so they can be free swimming, and you use no weight and no float. I call it free balling. And you just let out quite a bit of line, and you let that possum go where it wants to go.
And it's going to get eaten.
The nice thing about them is, you know, some creatures that you stick out there are constantly looking for snags. A possum will avoid very heavy weeds, and they'll avoid wood. Mm-hmm. So they're pretty handy that way. And, you just want to let them free swim. They'll work the surface for a while. They'll go down it. Yeah, it's a great bait, and that's the way you want to do it, though. That's no good. Weights. No flotation.
Just let her go. I think this guy wasn't participating in the podcast contest, but I think he's just kind of an ass. So he's correcting you on your knot, and he said, I failed to see reasoning for licking the line after you pull it down. At that point, the damage, however minor, has already been done. You're shutting the barn door after the horses run away. Pete, this guy is correcting you on tying your knot. How do you feel about that?
Well, it was a little upsetting, yeah. But I get over things quick. I have pretty thick skin. I was wondering just exactly how serious the guy was, actually. But
seems pretty serious.
The amount of damage that was incurred there on my knot, I think, was quite minimal. I really do apologize, though, if I didn't lick that line soon enough. You know, that line could have been licked.
Would you
already
say,
how does he know that?
Lick it before you stick it, Pete. Is that a rule to live
That's
by?
That's exactly right.
Exactly. Yeah. That when you're tying a knot, especially a balloon knot, lick it before you stick it. Noah, but what knot do you use to tie your mankini? I think he's referring to killing men winter. What do you think, Pete? What do you tie a mankini with?
You don't tie anything. They're already too tight. No, you just you slide the old pink devil on there, and you know.
Fair enough. Josh says, "Do you use this knot to get your man?" Apparently, there's a mankini theme. Do you use this knot to get your mankini extra tight while recording Mr. Twister's "We're Not Going to Take Winter Anymore"?
Yeah,
he does.
If you want to torture yourself. But I usually use the method on somebody else, frankly.
This guy with totally useless information. I used to stay at your mom and dad's place on Spider Lake in the 60s. How do you reply to something like that, Pete? Great. Good to hear.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah. Wonderful.
Everything's great, positive, wonderful, and marvelous, so it's all good. It's all good.
This guy says, couldn't see your knot at all. Could you tie it with a big rope?
Yeah, I remember seeing that one. I tied one with a rope and one with a floral. Yeah, I couldn't see the knot.
Oh, come on, people. Pick it. This is the fun about comments, people. These are not even podcasters. These are just people like, I couldn't see the rope. Could you tie that with a rope that's 5 inches around? Okay, so, oh my God, this might be my favorite. WPK.
I gotta get pink rope.
Pink rope. And this plays to this next question. Serious question here. Is this knot strong enough to hold a bucket of skin lotion bottles? It puts the lotion on the skin. Could you lower, Pete, if you were to dig, this is a hypothetical, I've not been on Pete's farm, but by chance, if I'd been on Pete's farm, I'd found like an old well, there was someone in the bottom, and Pete happened to be lowering lotion down there. Pete, did you use a Seaguar fluorocarbon and whatnot, did you use for that hypothetical bucket of lotion?
Oh, well, that was a uni knot, just a standard uni. Yeah, not the Century or whatever the heck the one is called. I think it's definitely a Century knot, the other knot that I use. Somebody, it was nice of them to show me what it was, you know. They offered it up. I checked on it, and I think that is a Century.
Fair enough.
That I've been doing for years. Matty says, so that was good.
Matty says, this not holds as well as a secure crypto cold wallet. I'd agree. As long as you lick it first. It could, Pete, sans licking, the thing might just self-destruct immediately. It could be worthless. Anyway, Thomas says, hey, Pete, what if Sasquatch, Meat, and I were going through the woods nibbling on mushrooms like Twizzlers with our tinfoil hats on? We came up on a weird object, and we proceeded to open up and find little grayish blue men. So I ask you, Pete Mano, will these knots hold up in securing these little gray blue men down so we can proceed to probe them? You're a god amongst humans, Pete. You're one of the six kings of the Padawans, and we praise you. Could you use this? Let's say that you had eaten wild mushrooms, you Sasquatch, you're walking around, and you need a type of alien. What are your thoughts?
Oh, absolutely. I've not spent a whole lot of time on the mushrooms and hunting Sasquatch and all of that, but it would definitely be a good knot for little blue men to examine them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was going to say. It's worth getting there. Craig, is there any truth to the rumor from Muskie 360? You're considering getting the guys from Mr. Twister back together for the Clam reunion tour. Clam Jam 87.
I can't wait to get the guys from Mr. Twister back together. All right. Hell yeah.
Muskie Slayer Outdoor says, Pete, how greasy is a Hayward possum?
Believe it or not, we had a discussion in the boat today about eating greasy things like possums.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see, beaver, porcupine. Believe it or not, my dad in Tex has eaten porcupine and cleaned a porcupine.
You ever eat a porky? So
yeah.
That's disgusting. Yeah. Wow.
You can use one of those.
hey, Pete, did Tex ever consider getting a job instead of eating a porcupine or... Just throwing that out there.
No, he's retired. Why would he eat it?
Did he eat? Okay, so this porcupine was eaten post-retirement, or?
No, I was eating one of Texas trees, and Tex got pissed off at it and shot it. And then my mom told Tex he ought to try and eat it one. And he did. By the way, they've got a. You can imagine this. Your only diet is frickin' tree bark. And Tex says that basically all they are is legs. He said they got this huge gut. Imagine that. Try and digest that tree bark. That's all you eat all day.
Well, it's delicious.
And he said, yeah, there's not much on the loins or whatever, and they're mostly guts. But they're good. Texas, they're good. So if you get hungry, people, now everybody's laughing.
Yeah.
But times can get tough.
Yeah.
And there could be a time when you look up in a tree and you see a porcupine or you see a possum somewhere.
You won't eat that.
And dead on the road, you might be jumping out of your car and wanting to grab that possum or shoot that.
Inflation's getting there. If you don't own crypto, it's getting there, boys. It's about possum eating time. Thomas says, my wife might have left me, but the muskies haven't left the lake. We salute you. Condolences. Chris, Big Fluoro, more like Big Pharma. Nice try, Peter.
Yeah.
Are you shilling for Big Pharma via Big Fluoro?
Absolutely not. Uh-huh. Absolutely not. I hate Big Pharma, love Big Fluoro.
Uh-huh. Fair enough.
Love tying knots. Yeah.
When Ryan says, when is the new Mr. Twister album dropping?
Oh, I'm thinking Midsummer Bash, right?
Oh, somewhere around the Muskie Shop Bash, I can guarantee a Mr. Twister single release. Something is going down. Is this the knot that Mr. Twister would tie asking for? I think it is, Chad. Yeah, he's asking that. Okay. Daniel, good info, but kind of bland. Kind of like dinner at the Smitty's house. Spice it up next time. Get Gillespie on board. Put on a tinfoil hat and pink bikinis and make some Tex-Mex chili. Next, eat some wild fungi and show up and tie Shulabasaurus size fluoro. So the Benoit ball, I don't know. This guy's mental. I like it. He says, Benoit balls while puffing on a hot Italian sausage. Italian Johnsonville like a cigar. Wow. Wow. Good for you. And here's Timothy. Pretty sure it's not a Centauri knot. He let us know that. Pete, what one of these comments, what really resonated with you with being the most personally offensive?
It was definitely that tremendous damage I was doing to my fluorocarbon by not correctly licking at the proper time.
I doubt he listens to the podcast. So what do we think about questioning the balloon knots? Was that or is it the guy that's insinuating you would drop mushrooms or eat mushrooms with Sasquatch? Who's going to win a free Livingston product here?
I kind of like the whole Sasquatch thing. Yeah.
All right, let me find this guy. Uh-oh.
I mean, that's showing quite a bit of imagination. I like that.
Thomas Berg, you send us an email. We're going to send you a Livingston product here. Now, not to say the Sasquatch is not real, not to say that there's not plenty of fungi out there in the world, you know. It's just put on the tinfoil hat. I imagine you've listened to Coast AM a few times in your life, you know, getting out there on the fringe, little Art Bellish. Anyway, Pete, before I let you go, what's your big cryptocurrency tip of the week?
Don't buy it right now because it continues to go down.
Yeah, there you go, folks. But
you got to find the bottom.
Find the bottom. If anything,
that's what they all say. Yeah, find the bottom. Find the bottom before it goes way up again.
Pete's always looking for the bottom. All right, Pete. We'll talk to you again soon. Jay, I never. Did you realize Pete was that delicate?
I did not.
It's sad. But there is a Mr. Twister single planned before the Muskie Shop Bash. Pete committed. You heard it with your own 2 ears. He's committed, folks. There's going to be we're not going to bump board it, or who knows what he's going to come up with here.
You'll have to make it happen.
I'm going to make it happen. Anyway, Jay, we were talking. You talked about turned on freaking headlocks for me. Holy cannoli.
How about that out of the blue, huh?
Ooh, doggy.
Hello.
I'll tell you, freaking 8-foot shield rods, headlocks, dynamite, really good. If you guys are struggling with southern bites, it seems one of those deals of like it is either down, as small as they get sizing, or just jumbo stuff, open water. Been tearing them up open water. I had, a 13 fish week? If I look at it, I sent you the footage. This is ridiculous. So, you know, that's a little tidbit there. I know, like, you know, it's been a weird year. And the only reason I bring that up is we're getting close. You got opener just here in an hour and a half for below Highway 10. And you got freaking the opener coming for you guys. You've heard us say it on other podcasts, is just get dialed in what the bait fish are doing. And it's at least for me, it's been a bait fishy spring. Just on every front, just been bait fishy. Anyway, Jay, I want to look at something real quick.
Okay.
I believe, and I heard the propellers over my house. I think the B-52 landed.
It's not a prop driven plane, but it's a
thank
good.
You, thank you very much, freaking realism historian Jay Essie. Wonderful, fantastic. Yeah,
Lake X lures, baby. And we got the magical drop off late this morning from their headquarters not too far west of us.
Corporate center.
Yes. Near Park Falls. Mm-hmm. Small town near Park Falls. Anyway, yeah. B-2s and B-52s.
Well,
B-2's the smaller brother of the B-52.
Is that like the difference between like a mag and a reg? Like what's going on there? Because these are new to everybody. I've never fished one, so
yeah, do tell. It's the first time I'd ever. Some of the guys have tried them a little bit at the shop, but it's the first time I had handling them. So yeah, the B-52 is the bigger one. The thing is, he's got three models in these baits. So there's a regular, which is the heaviest weighted version. There's a mid-depth, and there's a shallow version. And as you go to, down each model, they drop about an ounce in weight. So you go to that shallow version, the hang time, you said running it over that, over even over weeds, you know, like in that 1 to 4 foot range type thing. It's just phenomenal because the bait almost, you know, almost suspends. It's got such a slow sink rate to it. And of course, you go with the deepest, heaviest model, it'll, you can run it more like a traditional bulldog type presentation, quite a bit deeper, you know, 8 to 10 type stuff. But yeah, I would say the B52 runs more like size wise compared to a regular size Medusa or a Magnum size bulldog in comparison. Yeah, and the B2 is like going one size down, more like a mid Medusa or a regular size bulldog. So that gives kind of paints a picture of these things. And they got the, you ever seen what he's done with the mold on the tail?
That's what I was about to ask. Is like, you apparently can cut these baits up or something.
Yeah, yeah. There's these ridges. There's like three ridges, and they just kind of, they only go in about halfway, right, on the tail. And you can take a scissors or like an X-Acto knife or something like that and just go bingo. Just make little slots in them. It's pretty soft rubber. It's fairly durable. They messed with the consistency of that a lot to get it so that it was as soft as they could get it and still be pulled rigid together.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It'd be rigid enough to, you know, not just come apart from casting, of course. So they look like they got a lot of flow to them when you just handle the bait, you know, it looks very soft, and you can turn that tail into a, you know, basically a triple, it's a one big single ribbon tail, but if you do the cuts on it, he said a trick they've been doing is they do that later in the summer, for whatever reason, having that has been effective in their boats because they've been developing this lure for a few years. So there's a lot of talk about them. There's been a lot of requests for that, and it's just been a bait that Lake X Lures has only produced for sports shows in the winter when they go, just so that they have something
different,
you know, that stands alone, that stands out, that's fairly new and all that, and is some kind of draw. And they're just finally making it available to us retailers for the first time today, I guess. And I got them on the website. So we didn't get a lot of them. They're not going to last long, and they look pretty cool. So a lot of us are anxious to try them this year. Yeah,
that's the cool thing about, you can cut the tail, which is so strange with that bait, of like
big
single or almost grub thing, or like a Medusa triple tail, your choice.
Yeah.
Dealer's choice. I like that. I like that it's like, you know, you got to sort of make a decision on how you want to run it, but you got both options.
And another thing that I don't think you've ever thrown one either, correct? It has that Steve Paul kind of like that flat bottom thing going on there, where it looks like it's going to have a nice little hang and a nice little kind of roll when you lay off of it. So
that's
an attractive looking bait. We like them.
Yeah, just letting them hang. I mean, it's like the rip pull. You know, you got your Bulldogs, your Medusas, your Water Wolves. Now you got the B52s of, but there's differences in all of them. They all run differently. You know, I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's a unique little deal there of just checking them out and see what it's going to work. I mean, hole one in the fin runs 8 to 16, mid has 2. I mean, there's so many options here, you know, as far as what you can do with this bait. And I think it's a versatility factor with that. What it, you know, it's been a hyped bait for a while, you know, a bait that a lot of people have been talking about. So worth checking out there. Very cool. Did we talk, the Boggs came in last week, right? Got the Mohawk.
Yeah, I'm not sure if we mentioned that thing. That's,
we did.
That's another new deal. Yeah. Did we? Okay.
A lot of new rubber. It's cool. You know, as far as here's for, and now for something completely different.
Yeah.
You know, so Musky Shop got the cool stuff coming, kids. Got the coolest.
Absolutely.
Got the coolest Kool-Aid jammers.
In terms of new rubber, I mean, yeah, like those Toothy Tough baits, three sizes. We got some of those coming in soon.
That thing this week, dude.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nailed a monster on that bait. That Toothy Tough bait, I love it. I freaking love that bait. That thing's bad.
So how do you retrieve that thing? Because I have not thrown it yet. You got the big one. You got the biggest of the three. Yeah.
Freaking the tail just does everything it needs to do.
Okay.
Pull it. Pull, stop, pull, stop, pull, stop. You can do a double. You know, you can do the upswing, sort of like a rubbery Medusa thing. I think that dude sort of figured out what the best of both worlds were, to be honest with you.
Hmm.
Because it's got the flat bottom of a Medusa in some regard, but it's got this big pounder sized tail. And, you know, it's sort of like, I've always thought Medusa tails, they sort of, and I like Medusas, don't get me wrong. You got three tails going back that they're hitting each other, right?
Yeah.
And it's sort of like the difference between a single blade versus a double blade. Like a single blade, I think, puts off more thump than a double. You can feel it in the rod.
It does. It does, yeah.
And so, like, here's this flat bottom thing, smaller body with this big tail that gives us a lot of hang.
Yeah, the tail runs the length of the body, though. No one's... Yeah. In previous lures, it's always been an extension of the body. Uh-huh. So this runs the length of the body, and it's... Putting out something different,
man.
So,
it's got some hang.
Another one I gotta try.
I love it. I think it's
add it to the list, Jaybird.
It's sort of like, to me, it's like Bulldog, Medusa, and Toothy Tufts. We're in the middle of those two. And you go, man, it's cool. I like it. We put a Hogasaurus in the boat on it, so I'm in love with it, obviously. But it's an interesting bait because it's like throw it out, retrieve it. The dude that got the fish, 72 years old. It wasn't like the hardest retrieval ever. You know what I'm saying? Pull it across your body, pick up the slack, big fish. So I like it a lot.
Cool.
I got that going on.
Yeah.
So, Jay, what are you thinking? What are you seeing as far as by the end of the month for the muskie opener up there? What's it looking like?
It's starting to look a lot better, I'll tell you that. Today's Friday, May, what is it? 6th?
6th.
When I was driving to work this morning, there was still ice on the lake that I drove by, just a little bit, but it's gone now.
Right.
There's one big lake in the area in Vilas County that was ice covered yesterday, so that's going to take a few more days. But the good thing is we've got a lot of sunny, actually hot weather, above normal weather. So it's going to warm up really quickly. I mean, they're talking possibly 80s for a few days next week at least. I've never seen great fishing. I take that back. There was one year when it got really warm, and for the first week of the walleye opener, which is what we have right now, it was you know 75 degrees and sunny for like 6 days in a row.
Yeah,
and every fish in the lake came into spawn at the same time.
Right,
it was actually really cool. But beyond that, you know, when you have those. You know, if you have something like the first week of June where all of a sudden, you know, you've gone from spring to, you know, like the worst summer heat in a couple of days, that is never good when you have those drastic temperature changes like that. But if we can get the water to warm up quickly and then just kind of, you know, get to where it needs to be and stay, maybe it won't be so bad. We'll have good weed growth and the temperatures, you know, because... For our area, ice out was 2 weeks late, and that's unusual. And you know that usually has some effect that you got to deal with later in the season because of it. So
right,
we'll see. I think it's looking pretty good.
I think the upswing's been enough to mitigate how slow it was a little bit. You know what I'm saying? It's not going to be a mess. Mm-hmm. So I guess we'll really know what's going on once these guys, everybody, sort of gets out and does some walleye and gets the boats out.
Yeah.
You know, get out there. If you're up there, get out there and go fishing. Go, as embarrassing as it is, go out there and walleye fish. And
go fish for some bait and do some scouting.
There you go. Check it out. Let's hit some Q&A here real quick, Jay. We got a few here. By the way, one thing I say, other than the muskie shot bash, and there is some earth-shattering muskie news coming here very shortly.
Oh, yeah.
On, I believe, about June 1st.
Okay.
You know what I'm talking about.
I do.
Prepare yourselves,
folks. I'm sitting down right now.
Yeah. Gonna be.
I'm ready.
Freaking earth shattering. Keep tuned in for that because it's gonna be amazing. Sean, looking at purchasing a 9'6" Musky Shop Shield rod.
Ooh.
For bucktails. Would you recommend the heavy or the extra heavy? I throw 7s all the way up to supermodels with the X heavy load. Okay for a 7. I mean, if you're just really bucktailing, I think you can go. There's two schools of thought here, right? I throw nothing but extra heavies all the time for hook setting power. If you need a little help springing those baits out, go with the heavy. What would you think, Jay, between the extra heavy and the heavy on the shield rod?
All purpose bucktail rod, heavy for sure. Heavy.
You know, yeah. If you're throwing a bunch,
you'll be able to cast them. Yeah.
If you're fishing a bunch, I can sort of wing just about anything out. I can throw an AC Shiner on my extra heavy, but it's about feel. So if you're fishing a ton, go extra heavy because you understand what I'm saying for the load up power. I like the heavy. It's just a matter of like, if you do it every single day, it starts feeling whippy. You know what I'm saying? Because you're just rocking in baits. But in general, heavy for bucktails, extra heavy for your rubber and your bigger applications. Although, I do like the X heavy on the shield rods for gliders. It gives a ton of snap, Jay.
Yeah.
You know, you fish the 9s.
Well, yeah, I fish mainly 9s and I fish mainly heavies. Yeah. Great all-purpose rod. Yeah, I mean, he's talking about, quite a span there. You know, that what he's talking about, it just speaks.
Hold on. I just lost you. I lost you there for a second. You were saying he's going from the 7s.
Yeah, he's saying 7. He must mean, he's talking about a 7 blade, a small bucktail.
Right.
Definitely the heavy, right? You get into the supermodels, that's a Musky Mayhem, double 13. It's just a gigantic hard pulling. It's not necessarily the heaviest bait in the world. They're maybe 4 ounces or so, but they pull really hard. So that's why Steve was recommending going extra heavy because of the retrieve. You want, a stouter rod. So,
right. I mean, difficult to
do it with one rod, but I always lean, go for the slightly lighter setup if you're doing it with one rod.
What are you doing most though? I guess it would be the end of, to come back around there where like, if you're on a body of water where it's like, they want big. You know, if you throw 7s more than you throw 13s.
And most people do. I mean, most people are not throwing double 13s most of the time when they're bucktailing.
I throw them from open to close.
There you go.
I throw 13s of ice out, Jay. That's it.
Yeah.
That's that post-spawn presentation I like so much. 13.
Slow rolling, baby.
No, fat burn them. Burn the hell out of them.
Oh, fat burning.
Burn the hell out of them.
Bulging
13s. Folks, anything sub 60 degrees, you need to be bulging 13s.
That's wrong. I don't agree.
Just burn them. Just burn 13s from opener to close. What do you say?
I'm saying no on
that. Okay. Dominic.
Whew. Yeah.
I'm a Pennsylvania bank yanker. I was actually just
Krieger.
He just bit the bullet and bought a POS. What's POS stand for? He said bought a POS flat bottom. Is that a brand, Jay? That's the same brand of flat bottom John boat I got from you. POS.
Oh, a POS. No.
My apologies. Oh,
okay.
That brand, yeah. Got a POS flat bottom to run my local river with. I'm riding in with a sonar question.
Ooh.
You guys talk a lot about high-end electronics, but what would you... I don't know. For the stuff I have on my boat, we don't talk freaking electronics high-end. I am a high-end electronics guy, but it's not necessary. You guys have heard it here a million times. But what would be a sub-$250 unit you'd recommend as a bare-bone setup? I'm really just looking for something to give me a basic info. Been considering a Striker 4, but what would you guys think? I want to pick your brains on this.
Well, I know what I'd go with. And I know what you're going with because that boat, your Krieger Special that you got is so small, it's not big enough for a battery. So what Steve's using is a small anchor with 20 feet of white rope. And then in every 2 feet, you make a magic marker line. It's like, okay, we're in 7 feet.
We're in Bingo. 7 feet. That is like, so the Steve Paul Muskie Special Low is rigged up. I've got some bad boy toys on there. Wholly unnecessary. Helpful, but unnecessary.
But not so much on the creaker boat.
The creaker boat is a piece of rope with lines drawn on the rope at 2 foot intervals.
There you go.
I have other crappy rigs, not crappy fishing. I mean, crappy as they're crap. Where I've run, like he's talking about the Striker, right? There's the Striker 4. I've got one that has a freaking Piranha Max from Wally World that I think was like $120-$130, right? What you're looking for on a budget setup, if you are a John Boater, whatever, get a freaking, I don't care what it is, give me depth and temperature, right? That's all we're looking
for. Kind of what I was leaning at, exactly, yeah. Right.
You know, it's not going, you're not going to put on this $100, $200, $250 fish finder and mark a fish and catch it.
Yeah, because it's showing those cartoon animated fish on there, and it's right. Just like, don't believe it.
You're not going to, I mean, you could. Somebody's going, well, I did it. Well, you're one of whatever. Mm-hmm. But what you'll do is you got this inexpensive fish finder on the boat. You need to use it as a tool for your patterning, right? So electronics on your boat do not catch you fish. Hello? Your boat electronics do not catch you fish. Your patterning, your mental acuteness in looking at the scenario is what catches the fish. Now, how much data you have for that decision-making process is dictated by how much money you're willing to spend. Right? Now, I made a living guiding with nothing on the boat for years. I mean, crap electronics. I'm talking like basic, right? I've got freaking the baddest stuff in the land now on my boat, and it doesn't matter. Right? I learned and I caught as many fish as I catch now on shitty electronics. So electronics become a crutch for a lot of people. With panoptics, which, I've not mentioned it much. I have panoptics on my boat. I have a specialized turret that's remote. I got all this shit. But I don't go out and say, I need to find the fish with panoptics. I'll use it for confirmation of a pattern. I'll use it to confirm I'm getting follows. But I could do exactly what I do now mm-hmm. with a freaking $100 hummingbird from eBay or a used one or a freaking whatever they cost now for the cheapies. Water temperature and depth. That's all you need to understand the structure. The other thing I say is if you're on a budget and you're going to fish a local river, the Navionics app, which has mapping on it, be studying maps at home. Do that homework. Figure out where they're at before you even go fishing. That's what matters. Where are they going to be seasonally? Where are they going to be pattern-wise? What am I going to use mentally? Because a fish finder cannot tell you. It cannot assess the situation as well as your brain can. You know, musky fishing is a game of puzzle solving. Right? If you don't like puzzles, you don't like musky fishing. So electronics are just clues. They're hints, right, Jay? You play a video game and it gives you a hint on what to do next.
Mm-hmm.
So the more electronics you have, the easier it is. The less you have, the harder it is. But it's still the same puzzle. All right? The better you are, the less crap you need. And what usually happens, the better you are, the more crap you get. And there's days I turn on like the one on my console and I would just run all day long and just go, okay, there's my map so I don't hit something. You know, don't crutch on that stuff, but get something that's serviceable and start with water temp and depth and go from there. And you can sort of build up or you go, I don't need this because I'm just greasing them. You know, I'm making contact with fish all the time. Jay, you fish sort of minimal on your boat and catch plenty of fish. What are your thoughts there? What are you thinking?
Well, I like what you said about do your homework in terms of mapping. You know, mm-hmm. if you're fishing a big river stretch or you're fishing a lake that you're not familiar with,
right.
You're trying something new, you know, you do your homework, you look at it and you cross off a bunch of sections that are just like, okay, on the map, this does not look that great. And if you were to go out there on your maybe 5 hours for that night after work or whatever, and waste it on, you know, beating a dead horse kind of section, then you're not fishing effectively. So isolate the bad, cross off the bad sections and concentrate on the ones that you deem that should be productive because they just look too good, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, certain weed lines with, you know, breaks in them and you know, and points and, you know, maybe some mid-lake structure or something like that. It's like you go out there, and that's something you can do after you do your mapping work at home, and go out there and without good electronics, without any electronics, maybe just, yeah, you know, your depth finder, you can locate the spot, you know, whether it's a mid-lake area. I mean, I used to do that all the time. It's like, okay, there's a hump out here. Find the darn thing. You know, you got to drive around a little bit. It's like, nobody's on it. Nobody's fishing, mm-hmm, this thing, you know, but there's some subtle change in, you know, one of those bowl-like lakes, you know, that just, mm-hmm, doesn't really have much to offer, you know, on face value.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's my tip, I guess.
Well, I mean, it's just one of those things of like, you know, we're away from his question in some regard, which is just buy a cheap one that has depth and temp. But for everybody else's, you don't need all the crap. You just don't. You know, you might see like a Musky Shop TV video or somebody else's video, and they got all the crap on the boat, right? Crap, crap, crap. It doesn't matter. You know, Booker said it before, give me a freaking bathtub and an oar, I'll catch a musky. You know, it's about understanding the environment, you know.
I mean, to be honest with you, you know, half the time and half the spots that we were fishing, because tactically what we were doing last summer when you came up was not spending a lot of time searching around. It's just, mm-mm, like, okay, there's two or three good spots here. And maybe electronics kind of helps at the beginning there to dial us in there, but
on you could
shut them off.
Yeah.
That's, you could have powered them off, saved, yeah, the battery power.
Weird,
didn't need them once, yeah, we knew where they were, you know.
I mean, could have found those edges with just throwing a bucktail out and letting it fall down.
Yeah, right.
And go here, you know, there it is. So, I mean, you know, electronics are a crutch. I've often thought musky tournament should be no electronics. It'd be a lot more fun, in my opinion. All right. John says, been listening for a few weeks and I'm obsessed. Learned a ton, cast retrieval, structure fishing. Paraphrasing here. Super long, Jay.
Thanks for writing that, John.
No, I'm working here. What are some bank fishing tips? That would probably be the biggest takeaway here. What are bank? Mm-hmm. What do we have as far as bank fishing tips that would make the most sense? You know, what do we, as far as like in general? I'm John. I'm sorry to paraphrase his wonderful question. He said he loves the podcast. I would say we've talked about bank fishing before, but something that comes to mind is keeping your mobility. Less is more. You know, I've seen the guy that shows up at the frickin' river's edge that's got two lake woods. You know, how many times are you going to move that?
Mm-hmm.
So, mobility, A. B, understanding structure. Whether you're on the bank or not, you need to understand structure. So, we mentioned a second ago about a small John boat is a map of where you're fishing, right? The Navionics app is invaluable for bank fishermen, or if you're on the boat and you don't have a graph, having Navionics at your fingertips to be able to look at stuff. So understanding, don't make an arbitrary decision based upon where you're going to fish off the bank. It's as important as you're fishing from the shore, or excuse me, from a boat, right?
Mm-hmm.
The other thing is this, is take advantage of the uniqueness of your situation, right? So you're able to fish structure in a better way than you are from a boat. Muskies are facing out, looking for things that are coming in. From a boat, you're throwing in and bringing it past them instead of head at them, right? So if you're throwing from the bank, the baits are generally moving in a better direction, which is important. So take advantage of that, you know, deeper cranks. So you're fishing the brake lines further out there and then let them float up and work them back. I mean, Jay, what's some stuff or some stuff at the shop, like the bank oriented, whether it be boxes or carry stuff or the folding nets? Just give me some ideas here. What you got?
Backpack with one 3730 Plano in it.
Okay.
Boom. Completely mobile. You don't have to reach down and pick up something. You got one rod. You got one tackle box. And if you do need to switch baits, and I would do that a bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, and work spots. I mean, the key would be working good spot. If you know you're on a good spot, you're not just randomly right. fishing along shoreline
because
or something
the grass
on a river.
Because the grass is mowed.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Right. You know, fish it effectively. Fish it very thoroughly, and I'd come back with a different presentation too. I'd throw, you know, a bucktail and a glide bait, not just try out bucktails or just try out a crankbait on one section, you know. It's mm-hmm. just like, if it's a good spot, repeated casting and oversaturate the area. I mean, you're Creeker's got a lot more stealthy presentation than any kind of boat situation, mm-hmm. you know. And that's an advantage, actually.
I mean,
might not seem like it when you're casting out there, you know, and you're looking at the cool boats going by going, God, I wish I was out there right now. But it's like at times, you know, that stealthy presentation is going to pay off because you're not spooking big fish out of a shallow area.
Mm-hmm.
Like a boat would when it rolls up there with the, you know, trolling motor on 10.
Right, right. Coming on the 250 raging in. Yep. I mean, I would just definitely just, you know, I would definitely just. Less is more as far as tackle, so you're mobile, and look at those maps. Pay attention to where you're fishing. Don't make it arbitrary, and you can access a lot of the best spots from the bank, and you're going to get that different presentation. Like you were saying, Jay, just saturate the crap out of them. That's probably mm-hmm. the best thing is don't move a bunch. Don't feel like I'm in a boat, so I got to hustle around this thing. Move enough, but just keep it going there. What's the next one here? Oh, John, what's your favorite bucktail? 8s, 10s, 12s? What do you guys count on when you're throwing bucktails? I know you don't throw them a lot, but what do you go to? Ooh, 8s for me.
Yeah, I'm kind of a single bladed 8.
Yeah,
whether it's a Booker 700, that's more like a fluted 8.
Right.
Colorado 8, they're both about the same size, about the same general kind of water disturbance with the thump, you know.
Right.
Yeah, something right in there. I'm not a micro bucktail throwing kind of, you know, MEPS 5s, you know.
I watched that video where you're tiny, but like you had your May musky things and like Frost talking about that. Why are you going smaller than a giant killer?
Yes, yeah, right. I know what you're saying. Yeah, he was talking about that, right?
Like 5s, and come on, you know, get throw a musky killer, a giant killer. It's going to be in the ball game pretty much year round. I like 8s. I like the MEPS single 8s. The Booker single 7. If I can get it. Those are some of my favorite. Not a big bucktailer, as you guys know. I mean, I got some tricks with them, but, you know, I, again, by 3 weeks from now, I assume all the bucktail fish have been caught. So, you know, they're seeing enough of them. I know they'll all hit them, but, you know, I like to do rubber and glides and some other stuff to get them moving. Next up, Mike, who would win in a shootout? Doug Wagner or, oh, wow. Hold on. I'll answer it. Screw it. I don't mm-hmm. pre-read these. Who would win a shootout, Doug Wagner or Stephen Paul? Wow. Neither of us.
Who what cares? Kind of shootout?
I don't know how fast he is with a six shooter.
No one does.
He might. He's probably got the fastest hand in Minnesota. Just pow, dead. You know, if we're comparing, here's the thing. Great question, because it brings up the philosophical crap that I think about all the time. Who cares? He could beat me one day and I could beat him the next, or he could beat me 25 in a row and I win. Who cares? It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter because there is no great musky prize at the end. I think Doug is a hell of a fisherman. I think he's excellent. He does amazing stuff. He's got the Booker tie-in just like I do. I think he's analytical. I think he's well-spoken. He knows what he's doing, and he knows he's water. That's all that matters. And at the end of the day, it's not me versus them or you versus them or us versus each other. It's are you having fun? And I can promise you he will not beat me at having fun. You know, I'm whether good win, lose or draw, I'd have a good time. So it would be a win for everybody. One of my favorite quotes, Jay, is this, right? Comparison is the theft of joy. Right? So if you compare your success to other people's success, you're stealing your own joy. So that's it. I've caught a lot of 50s. So is Doug. God bless him. And he's going to continue to, and so am I. But I'm not, I'm taking this as an example, not to compare he and I or to compare anybody, but don't compare yourself to other people. Because, you know, if I compare myself to, like, see, me and Jay, we're going to compare ourselves to musky fishing, right? Jay is so busy running the musky shop that keeps so many people on the water, right? So if Jay wasn't there, half of you wouldn't have the stuff you need to catch fish. But Jay's not catching as many fish as he theoretically could because he's at work. You know what I'm saying? It's just not a fair comparison. So
yeah, right,
everybody's got a different lot. Everybody's got a different things going in life. I don't care. Don't do that to yourselves. Don't do that to this. Don't hear the other thing I say is this, and I'm just this question opened up a unique opportunity. Don't hero worship in musky fishing either. I suck at musky fishing. Who cares? Time, by the amount of time, let's take X amount of hours on the water. We all suck at it. We're all highly ineffective. If you were only good at your job for 1 hour out of eight a day, you'd be fired. Right? So, Jay, if you go to the musky shop tomorrow and for 7 hours and 50 minutes of an 8 hour day, right? You don't do a damn thing. You're awful at your job, but you're good for 10 minutes of it. That's like being a musky guide.
Yeah.
So don't compare yourselves. Like I said, I wish that guy, I think Doug's excellent angler. I wish him all the luck. I think he's breaking new ground. He's doing amazing things in the sport. And I would never compare myself. But like I said, you know, have fun with this. I'm going off on a tangent here, but me and you talk about this all the time. Is I don't get the musky guy thing, right? So there's this weird thing in our sport, and I hate it. Like, I'm better than him, or he's better than me, or I'm this, or I'm that, or this guy's this, or that. I am a stupid hillbilly that likes to catch fish that I can't eat, I can't take home, and women don't care about. That is the dumbest thing you could ever do.
There's no room for arrogance if you fish.
It's so stupid.
Yeah,
it's so stupid. It is just totally like agreed. If you got a big, if you're like a big ego musky fisherman, that and $1.99 will get you a cup of coffee. You know what I'm saying? It's like, who cares? Wow. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Anyway, and all love and respect to Doug. I should have skipped that question, but it's a great teachable moment. There's no comparison there, negative or positive. If we're going back over that. That's why I don't do tournaments. Who gives a shit?
Well, you know my motto.
What's that?
It's fishing. It should be fun.
Jay?
Sounds stupid, but I mean, that's kind of my philosophy.
Danny, do you do drugs?
Every day, sir.
Every day, sir. Clarence, what's your top producing musky lures for extremely windy conditions?
Ooh, good question.
I like that one.
Wow.
Mine's going home.
It's too windy. I'm out of here. That's kind of my answer, too. It's way too windy.
Going home. I produce myself at my house. Wind 5 to 10 ain't nothing. 10 to 15 is annoying, and up from that it can be heinous, right? If we're talking windy, like it's howling. We got 15s, 20s. Forget your gliders.
Right? That's when it gets difficult, right?
Forget your top,
15 to 20. Yep.
Forget the top waters.
Mm-hmm.
We're not trying to break through waves here where the top waters are going in and out of waves. I'm talking it is choppy. It is, you're banging, you're bouncing, you're doing some stuff.
Rubber.
Bulldogs.
Yeah.
Not shallow tubes. Dogs. Yeah. Tubes, bulldogs, Medusas. I guess the B-52 would work. Some new rubber. Yeah. Rubber. Or cranks. Big cranks, not your little cranks. Don't break out. It don't have 2 footers and break out the 22 short. Right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, depth rater and up. You know, triple D's, Rachel's. I don't look at, I rarely cast Jake's, but, you know, stuff in that bigger bait category that's going to get seen, because you got to realize that surface is pretty disrupted. You need a good target for them to see, and you need to get down there, because the fish are not going to be sitting right up there bobbing up and down like a cork, right? They might necessarily not be hanging off the bottom. So we're looking for, I'm not saying suspended fish, we're talking break line, edge of cover fish, right? So like Jay said, ripping rubber through that stuff where it's sort of working in this up and down pattern. So you're covering some depth, right? Once you're dialed in from that, if you realize, okay, I've got 2 footers, 3 footers going on here, but I've got fish in a weed bed, you might be well off to throw a crankbait to that outer edge, right? And work those outside edges and get the bait there. Maybe working it parallel, we're working in and out. But don't waste your time with anything that's not sort of controllable depth-wise, right? Again, if it's pit summer peak and you're like spot locked inside of a deep weed bed and you got crazy thing, you might be able to get away with bucktails. But in general, it's going to be a rubber bite. Just in general. I mean, Jay,
yeah.
Me and you have been in some big wind before, tubes, getting them down and just pumping them.
Yeah, that one day with Tim.
Yeah,
Ives, that guide from the shop.
Yeah, rubber.
It didn't look like it at the end of the video, but you know, the first several hours, man.
It was exciting.
Well, it was 25, I think, that day. I mean, it was, you know, there was not a huge lake, but it was like,
it
was so rough. We could not see the milfoil patches, and like 1 out of 3 casts was landing in those big, nasty, huge clumps of floating milfoil.
Yeah,
you couldn't see them.
No.
Couldn't see nothing.
You were just spraying and praying, but
yeah,
it was funny in that video. We edited it out because it was embarrassing. I hook what's about a 39 or a 40. I'm like, it's a big fish. I'm yelling to Jay, get your net. It's 50. Well, it's pulling against the waves. So it's against the current. So it feels like it's immensely bigger.
I hear you.
I'm like, it's a 50.
You're screaming that. And do you remember I said, you got a big one on, Steve?
Yeah.
And you never heard the quickest, shut up, Jay.
Shut up, Jay. Get the damn net.
That's classic.
I'm Cap Mayhab out here bouncing up and down 2 feet.
You're trying to control the boat, you know, and steer this fish, you know, and it's just in the weeds right around the trolling motor. Right. And it's like,
I don't know if it's 39, if it's 40, but you would have had to broken its spine to get to over 40. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah,
we would have had to pull on either end of this fish to get it a tick over 40. And it felt huge. And I was, just, you know, we're bouncing up and down. got it. You know, and it was, you know, upper 30s, 40 inches. But it happens, man. But that was just taking bulldogs and tubes and just winging them through there. You couldn't do anything else. Because we tried. If you remember, Jay, early on, we threw some blades and they're just popping out. They're cavitating out too much.
Yeah.
And it's just like, get down on the cover. The fish are not going to be right up at the top. Get down on the top of the weeds. tubes, rubber. There's so many different rubber presentation. Rip them through there. Rip them next. You know, if you don't have weeds, rip them next to a good cover and structure. You're going to be in the game, you know.
Mm-hmm. Tim had a really extra heavy, you might remember, he was slow rolling a big spinnerbait, mm-hmm. you know, a weedless spinnerbait to try to get, you know, find those edges and pockets mm-hmm. and tick through them and pull through them and all that. But it wasn't as effective as it was later. But with the wind and the waves and the way we were moving, so...
Yeah,
rubber was the key that day. Rubber. That was definitely the key.
All right, one more. Jeff,
okay.
How do you make a determination between walk the dog and tail prop topwaters?
Yeah, that's a good question,
Ooh.
Too.
Ooh. I don't know if there's, like, a solid answer where you go this, that, or the other, right?
Yeah, I'm thinking myself.
I'm a walk the dogger.
Yeah.
Because tail prop to me is the bucktail crew, right? When I say topwater and bucktail, they're throwing top raiders and freaking cowgirls.
Yeah, right.
Like, I would bet at any moment, if you could just stop everybody that's musky fishing at one time and go, what are you throwing? A large percentage are throwing cowgirls, or excuse me, are showgirls, the double H. So it's like a ton of showgirls and fat bastards are top raiders. Right. So I avoid those just because I go, okay, if there is a big fish here, it has seen this. I just eliminate it, mark it off my list. You know, if I'm missing a big fish that I could have got on a showgirl or a top raider, well, sorry, you know, my bad, but I'm marking that off my list. So I'm more of a, post giant jackpot, a weagle. Mm-hmm. What's the pallbearer we talked about, which you just sent me one, which is ripping cool. You know, I want to walk the dog.
The walk the dog baits have kind of fallen by the wayside in popularity the last few years. I'm just saying in general.
I'm out there whacking a schmack.
Everyone wants a, you know, a prop bait, which, you know, they're great too, but there's a lot of good ones out there. But yeah, I mean, I've seen you. You're deadly. You got that weird presentation mix up mm-hmm. you use for the, or they call it mashup. Is it a mashup presentation?
It's a mashup.
With a jackpot?
Yeah, dude.
Oh, man.
I learned.
That's cool. You can do some tricks and little triggering uh-huh. tricks with that that you can't do with a tailbait.
More points for the board, Bobble.
Bingo.
Yeah, I break out the old mesencomer, rules of engagement.
Rules of engagement?
Rules of engagement with Bob Mesencomer.
What's rule number one?
Rule number one, never throw anything bigger than 30-pound monofilament.
Strand 1220. What was that stuff?
I don't
remember that flat monofilament line Strand had?
Yeah, if your rod's longer than 6'6", it's a dipsy diver rod. Freaking Bob Mesencomer. What IGA is he working at now? Freaking, I love jackpots. Always will. Always have. Always will. Weagles. I mean, it's, but again, it's like the slow, ploddish kind of fisherman that I am. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's about hanging, you know, it's making a bunch of noise, but it's not moving forward a bunch.
Right.
That would be my take. I don't know if there's a clear cut answer there. As far as like without seeing reaction, right? Now, if they're hitting tail props and they're not in jackpots or walk the dog topwaters, duh. You know what I'm saying? But as far as like I'm walking out in the boat and I go, what is it today? It's usually what you're throwing. You know what I'm saying? You're going to get that negative and neutral reaction. Now, with that being said, if I'm getting follows on walk the dog stuff and they're not eating, go to tail props. Right? Break out the high fin or the twin fin or the top rider. I got them in the boat. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to go for a jackpot off the rip. You know, I like throwing them. So what? You know? That's going to be my off the I think it's a potential or a topwater, that's where I'm going first.
I mean, back in the day, what was that? What is that bass size one of the Zara Spook? They made one, they probably still do, that's about an inch longer than a Zara Spook, which is a bass bait, right?
Yeah,
so this thing's like 5.5 inches long, you know, weighs about
Super
an ounce.
Spook.
Super Spook. Those things are deadly the first month of muskie season under the right conditions. Oh my God.
You can't even say that anymore.
Yeah. So good.
You just got canceled, Jay.
That's a walk the dog style oversized bass lure.
It is. Well, folks, Jay, I've been pizzaed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, you had pizza tonight, didn't you?
I'm so tired.
Jody Michael.
Pizza with Jody Michael. Rules of Engagement with Bob Mesenkomer is brought to you by freaking Bob. Let's have Bob on the podcast. What do you think?
We should try to get a hold of him.
I can get a hold of him. I'll call him next week. Let's see what we can do.
Get Bob on.
Freaking 30-pound mono walk the dog. Can't be topped. Literally, Todd and Dave is based on Bob Mesenkomer, folks. Anyway, Jay, say goodnight.
Night, guys.